Amen. So it is so good to be with you all this morning. There's quite a few of us. I don't know what's happening in Oceans Unite. I don't know what's happening in Vero Beach, but something's happening. Because there's a whole lot of us here this morning. Amen. And I'm excited to see what God is going to do. And I just want to start off by saying thank you to Pastor Alex for allowing me yet another week to minister up here. I don't take this responsibility lightly, and I give you all the honor and praise, and thank you for allowing me to do this. Amen? Amen. And thank you guys for receiving me yet another week. Amen. I just want to start off by saying, before I get into what we're going to get into this morning, I'm very excited about tonight. And for a specific reason, because I firmly believe that there is an enemy that has been raging against our families, that has been raging against our marriages, that has been raging against the youth and the young people in this city, that has been raging against our schools. And I got a prophetic word from a prophet here not too long ago that said, I will go alongside with those who have fight in them. And I'm firmly believing tonight that somebody's going to catch a revelation that's going to take all the things that the enemy is doing to you and your family, and it stops with you. Never again. Never again. Armed and dangerous for the kingdom of God. No longer eensy weensy polka dot bikini Christians, but Christians that are going to rise up and say, not today, devil. Not today. It stops with me. You try to come against me, and that's, you know, listen, I've said it before to the youth, and I'm going to say it again this morning before we get into it. I don't care if Google knows my name. I don't care if YouTube knows my name. I don't care what kind of a face I have on Facebook or Instagram. The only thing I want to make sure before I die on this precious earth is that every single demon from the pits of hell knows who Mike Cornell is. And I want to make sure he knows your name too. That when we walk out of this building, the demons begin to shiver and shake. They say, oh no, they left the building. Somebody's in trouble. Because everywhere these precious people go, they're telling me where to go, and I have to leave. Amen. So if you're dealing with depression in your family, rejection, that sense of aloneness, addiction, poverty, tonight we're going to increase the heat in this place. Amen. So I really encourage you to come out. If that is you, bless you, and I just encourage you to come out with us tonight. It's going to be a great time. Just by a show of hands, I see a lot of new faces. Who was with us last week Sunday morning? Quite a lot of you, but quite a lot of you were missing. Okay. Who was with us last Sunday night? Can I just see by a show of hands? A lot of you, but yet again, a lot of you weren't here. So I'm just, if it's okay, give me a little grace. I'm just going to lay a brief foundation from what we spoke about last Sunday morning and last Sunday night as we get into today's message, as I've been really speaking on the keys, or rather the ingredients to revival. I started off last week with, you can't have potato salad without potatoes. You can't have ketchup without tomatoes. It's a basic, simple key. I mean, it's real easy. There's certain recipes. You got to have a certain ingredient to get the end product. Amen? With that being said, I need to make it very clear. I don't ever want to portray or make it seem as though I'm taking all these different ingredients for revival, sticking them in a blender, and our end product is revival, because that's not always true. All we can do as Christians is set an atmosphere for revival. Revival is a sovereign thing from God. Amen. But I firmly believe, you know, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and I don't know where, maybe this is from Friday, I'm not really sure. But in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, it states that there is a time and a season for everything. There's a season to sow, and there's a season to reap. And I firmly believe that we are stepping into a season of revival. And I want to make sure oceans, because this is going to, I'm firmly believing, I'm listening to the prophets that are busy speaking across the nation. And it is so loud and clear in the realm of the Spirit that we are in a season of revival, a likes of which the nations of this world have never seen before. And I want to make sure that we get to be a part of that. I want to make sure that we don't miss out. Amen. I can smell it. The aroma of revival. I got a glimpse of it on Friday. Just miracles just breaking out. In youth that have never in their lives seen anything like this go. Baptist kids, not that I have anything against Baptist kids or the Baptist church. I love them very much, but they have never seen the move of the Spirit and they were super uncomfortable. Why are they raising their hands and jumping around during worship? And they saw a miracle, and I watched the one kid, his mouth went. He came up to me afterwards. He said, "You guys are weird. I'm not going to try to tell you anything different. Y'all are weird, but that's crazy. I've never seen anything like that." Amen. It's time the body of Christ starts seeing it. Not only teaching and ministering the word, but a demonstration of his love and power. Amen. So last week we started off with the need for revival. And I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to look around today and see the need for revival. I'm pretty sure any one of us, if we were to go onto Facebook or any sort of social media, watch any news channel, CNN, Fox News, pick one, I don't really care, Democrat, Republican, that's not my place to share. It doesn't matter where you look. I believe we can all agree, every age, every color, every ethnicity, every gender, we can all agree we are in a desperate need for a revival. A revival in our cities, a revival in our states, a revival in our nation, a revival in the nations of this world. There's a desperate need for it. These mass shootings and all the just the junk that's busy taking place. We need a revival. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, it says, "If my people who were chosen, my people." See, we've already got that part done because the vision of this house is to demonstrate, teach and demonstrate the power and the love of God, bringing the fire of God to the city and nation. That is the vision of this house. We have already been chosen. And can I tell you this morning, anybody who sits under this house, anybody who aligns themselves with that vision, anybody who comes in line with that vision, that is your vision too. You have been chosen as well. Anyone who comes underneath that covering, you can claim that for you. And again, in 2 Chronicles, it says, "If my people who are chosen will humble themselves," it's a key. "If they will seek my face, if they will pray, if they will turn from their wicked ways, I will hear their prayers," which is another important key because I want to make sure every single one of us, when we begin to intercede, when we begin to pray, I want to get his attention. I don't want to be a clanging, banging cymbal. I want to get his attention that when we begin to intercede, he's up there and he says, "Ooh, those oceans people, they're busy at it again. Let me grab those prayers and put them in the golden bowl so I can start answering some of those." And then he follows that up and says, "And I will heal their lands." I believe we need a healing in our lands. Amen. So the need for revival, that was Sunday morning. And then Sunday night we ministered on some of the keys to these, or ingredients, if you will, to revival, and one of which is prayer. And I don't want to get off onto a long, big tangent of prayer because we'll be here the rest of the morning and I'll never leave it because I firmly believe in prayer. You know, I've heard this before from other people. They say that when you go to high school and you leave high school, people can come to you and convince you that certain things that you learned in high school aren't true. They can convince you that some of the stuff that you were taught in grade school, it's not true, or it doesn't apply, or anything like that. But can I tell you one thing right now? You cannot convince me of what I had for breakfast wasn't what I had for breakfast. You can't convince me that what I had this morning for breakfast wasn't what I had. Okay, I had a cup of coffee. I didn't get up and make an awesome egg sandwich like I should have. But the fact of the matter is, I know who made the coffee. I smelt it. I tasted it. I drank it. It was good. You cannot convince me otherwise. What is this? How is this relevant to anything? Because you cannot convince me otherwise that prayer doesn't work. Because I've seen it. I've seen the power of prayer. I've seen it work. I've seen it work in my family. I've seen it work in our youth. I've seen it work on occasion after occasion after occasion. When you see something take place and you cannot deny it, nobody can tell you otherwise. I don't care how backslidden I feel. You can't convince me prayer doesn't work. And it does. And at the foothold of every revival, Azusa Street, the Toronto Blessing, the Pensacola Outpouring. You look at all the great revivalists of old, Catherine Kuhlman, A.A. Allen, Jack Coe, all of them. At the foothold of it, there was prayer. It is so important, and we need to begin to assemble as the body of Christ and come together once again and begin to pray, begin to intercede. I don't know how many people we had this morning praying, but the back prayer room was full. There was no more space in there. The prayer meetings on Wednesdays and on Saturdays have been packed, and we've just been going for it and taking ground for the kingdom. Something is busy happening at Oceans Unite Christian Center. Amen. And then there's a call to repentance. Because again, every revival that I've ever studied, there was always a call to repentance. There has to be a personal conviction in yourself that says, Lord, I'm not right with you. And I've made mistakes and I've done things wrong. And see, like it says in 2 Chronicles, we must turn from our wicked ways. You're going to make mistakes. I promise you, I do every day. I start my morning with a little bit of repentance. Gets me going. Amen. Repentance isn't a dirty word. It's not a curse word anymore. We need to get back to the place to where it's not only said but exercised in the church once again. It's something that we do on a regular basis. We need to have a call to repentance because there's a cleansing that takes place. Because after you repent, you come before God and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I messed up again. When you walk out of that place, you're totally free. You don't need to carry the baggage anymore. You don't need to carry the weight anymore. All the stuff that holds you back and keeps you from stepping into your purpose and destiny, you left it at the altar. Amen? Amen. So the key that we're going to speak about this morning, and if everyone could turn to the person next to you and tell them unity. Say unity. Unity is a major key to revival. Now, let me start by saying this. I wasn't around during the Welsh Revival. I'm a little young for that. I wasn't saved during the Pensacola Outpouring, which as far as I know was probably one of the most recent that most people know about. I was still a big heathen. I haven't got to witness revival firsthand, which I believe is one of the reasons why I'm so desperately hungry for it. Because my Bible says that Jesus was the same yesterday, today, and forever, which means he can do it again. And if he did it for them, listen, I'm your favorite, Jesus. Listen, Daddy, if you did it for them, I want it too. That's the attitude I have toward it. But I listen and I love sitting with people who have actually been in a revival. And there are many of you here that have even shared with me that you were at the Pensacola Outpouring. I spoke to a couple that were at the Toronto Blessing in Canada, and I listened to these stories. Pastor Alex was saved on the tail end of a revival, and I listened to these stories, and can I tell you, I'm so jealous. Just a godly jealousy inside of me. I'm like, Lord, please. What do I got to do? How much money do I got to give? I'm just kidding. Sorry, Pastor. But you understand, I'm desperate for it. I want to see it. I've got to see it. I've got to taste it. But the closest thing I think I've ever had to a revival or a revival type outpouring was a youth camp. Our youth camps. And please forgive me, but like I speak a lot about the youth and the young adults because I am the youth pastor. So that's where I have my experience. And can I tell you, when we come to that place, it's usually a 3 or 4 day conference. And we have 4 or 5 sessions, depending on how they go. And generally on the first one, it's really stiff and tight and the atmosphere's terrible and nobody wants to talk to anybody. And everyone's like, yeah. You know, we start worshiping and they're like, you know what I mean? Like the frozen chosen, they don't want to step out. They're just like, I'm here because I'm here. I'm ready to go play football, right? But then Saturday morning prayer, we wake them all up super early. They're like dead to the world because none of them get out of bed before 8 o'clock. We wake them up at like 5. Prayer, ding, 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 ding. You know, militaristic type style. It's awesome. They crawl in there in their pajamas in the prayer room, and we just begin to hit that thing in the spirit. And all of a sudden, something begins to awaken in them. We go into the Saturday morning session, and they're like, they got 2 hands now, you know? We're getting there. And then all day Saturday, we just do team building activity after team building activity. Whatever we got to do to get them in unity. Whatever we got to do to bring them together as one. Like I said, this is like Planet Fitness. It's a judgment-free zone. Everybody loves everybody here. It just is what it is. Right? And so we play football and we do all sorts of, I mean, we make them go down water slides and we make them walk tight ropes together and hold each other up. And we do these, you know, challenge courses where like you can't get through from one end to the other without the help of your brother, which kind of reminds me of our walk in Christ, because oftentimes we try so hard to walk this walk in the we call faith and we don't have anybody around side of us. And oftentimes the voice of the enemy is louder than our Christian fellowship that we have and we fall off the wagon. But that's another sermon for another day. But what happens is so beautiful is after they've like screamed at each other and yelled at each other and thrown the football and somebody's got a black eye and they've like sweated and like they're beat tired. We come together on Saturday night, and can I tell you something? Every single one of them loves each other as if they were their own brother and sister. And when they come into that place, it's no more frozen chosen worship, but they're broken. And they're going for it, and they're worshiping, and they're just giving God all the glory for everything. And can I tell you, the minute we step out, His presence is there. The closest thing I've ever seen to the glory of God come into a room was at a youth camp, where we never said a word. We just began to lift our hands and begin to worship the one and only soon coming King. And the presence would come into that place, and we had kids get delivered right then and there. Delivered right then and there. Nobody touched them. Nobody laid hands on them. And I believe in the laying on of hands. I love it. We go for it. Amen. But it's the closest I've had to true revival, and I refuse to stop until I see it, where it's just every single day, just thousands coming to Christ, just getting, just, amen. Amen. Unity. Unity. You know, the power of suggestion is so frightfully powerful. And one thing I've realized is unity really counteracts that suggestion. Let me give you an example. Somebody who's more introverted or doesn't want to be a part of anything, they're very shy people. Oftentimes, when they don't become a part and they don't get connected in unity with their brothers and sisters, it's really easy for them to fall away. Because what happens is they see stuff take place in the church, or they hear something that somebody said. They may not have even got the fullness of what they said, but all of a sudden, here comes the enemy and he starts whispering in their ear, this, that, and the other. And then they go home and they sit on their own as an introverted person and they dwell on it with them and their thoughts, and it multiplies. And then they fall away and then we never see them again, and my heart breaks. But when you're in unity and there's community among the brethren, something begins to happen. People begin to get rooted. They begin to stay planted. And anything that is planted, that is well-rooted, will bear good fruit. Amen. This is great soil. My roots run deep. Amen. And that unity brings that. Because when things start going bad or things start going wrong, you've got a brother or a sister there beside you that's willing to pick you up. Listen, if we're supposed to be true warriors, if we're supposed to be true warriors, and I'm sure many of you can relate to this, a true warrior on the battlefield, when his brother gets shot down, he doesn't look at him and say, "Oh, sorry about your luck, dude," and walk off the field. When your brother in battle gets shot down, there's an urgency in the team. There's an urgency in the team. It says, "We got a man down. We ain't to the finish line yet. It's gonna be a long, hard road, brother, but I got you. Come on, come on. You can do it." They pick him up and they walk with him. Getting shot at, taking a bullet, whatever they got to do, but they're there. That's what true warriors do. I see a brother who's fallen and they come and they run and they pick him up and they say, "Not today. I know you've just been hit. I know you've taken a cruel blow." Am I speaking to anybody this morning? Can anybody relate to this? You ever seen a brother or a sister in Christ get to just take one to the chest from the devil? And I've seen it, and we just walk away. Unity. We got to get the unity back. Amen. Listen, I believe God's busy raising up an army in this place. I believe he's busy raising up some warriors in this place that no matter what the cost, no matter how many bullets they have to take, no matter how much bulletproof armor they got to put on their chest to hide their brother or sister, I believe God is busy raising up a remnant of warriors in this place that says, "I'll do whatever I got to do to fight for my brother, to fight for my sister, because I want to see them finish this race." Amen. Wow, I don't know where the time's going. All right, let's get into it. Can we look at the greatest revival, or one of the greatest revivals that ever took place, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, starting with verse 1. It says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." See, something took place right there. They got together and they were in one accord and they began to intercede. And the Holy Spirit came in and fell upon them. And then right after that, there was a shaking. Amen. Revival is contagious. Let me tell you something. When revival begins to break out and the Holy Spirit falls upon you, you no longer have to go into the world looking for people to minister to. They come running to you. They come running to you because there's something that you carry that they need to get a hold of. And you can try all you want in the flesh and in your carnal ability to reach out to them and to pray for them and to speak life into them. But until there's something taking place inside of you, it'll always be difficult. But as soon as revival hits you, personal revival, and there's a reawakening inside of you, and you become hungry for souls, you become hungry to see the lost saved, when you become hungry to see the sick healed, when you become hungry to see those bound in poverty blessed, all of a sudden people come running to you because, "Oh my goodness, this person's carrying something, and it's not just for me." Amen. Let's go down to verse 5. And I love how this starts. It says the crowd's response, because revival is contagious. "And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and they were confused." Listen, even the people who weren't saved, they still came together. "Because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, 'Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born, Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, and we hear them speaking in our own tongues and what the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying with one another, whatever could this mean? See, unity brought a great move of God in that place, and it became contagious to such an extent that even the people outside of the building said, listen, I don't know what's going on in there, but it's got my attention. It's time the world gets, or we rather get the attention of the world around us. I'm going to prove it in just a second. And out of a major encounter with the Holy Spirit, Peter stepped up, filled with boldness. A spirit of Gomorrah comes upon him. And he steps out and he begins to minister. And what does he say? Verse 40, it says, with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Listen to me, 3,000 souls. That is this auditorium filled up 6 times in one day with one sermon. Peter stepped up to the plate and said, listen, I have been filled with the Holy Spirit, and now it's time that we begin to speak. And all he did was just preach Jesus and him crucified. And just like that, 3,000 souls. Let me tell you something. If we had 3,000 souls come to this church tonight and give their life to Jesus, I believe we'd take social media by storm. I believe we'd probably even take the national or the local news by storm. It's time that the world turns on their TVs and they don't see the calamities and the things the enemy's doing, but rather they see the great works of Jesus Christ once again. It's time that the world system see miracles and signs and wonders break out. It's time. It's time that the hospitals get emptied out because of the presence of God. It's time that we go to funerals and raise the dead once again. It is time, church. It's time. I can't imagine turning on social media and seeing something good once in a while. It's time. In verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now in verse 44, it says, now all who believed were together and had things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They ate food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. We need to get back to a place to where we're in unity. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's good to meet you. I'm in unity with you this morning. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, say, neighbor, you look beautiful this morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, you know what? You look like you need some encouragement. Let me encourage you. You look beautiful this morning. Come on, church has got to be a place where we're happy to come again. Where when we come here, we get edified. When we come here, we get built up once again. I see a whole room full of just beautiful people ready to take a harvest. Ready to take a harvest. We got to get in unity once again. Stop looking at our brothers and sisters with a judgmental eye, but rather seeing the goodness that's inside of them, because Jesus Christ abides in them just as he does you. Amen. Okay. I don't know where the time is going. I've got one more scripture. Psalm 133. And I love this. It's blessed unity of the people of God. A song of ascents of David. Starting with verse 1. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant is it for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments, It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessings, life forevermore. Antonio, my brother, could you turn me down just a little bit? I don't know why. Am I feeding? Can everyone hear me out there? Okay, amen. Can everyone give Antonio a big God bless you? He's doing a great job. Amen. There are principles that are going to carry us into revival. King David cried out for revival, and we see how important unity is in every single revival. Unity in this verse speaks of an identity element to be one, a condition of harmony. A condition of harmony. Not a condition of disunity. A condition of harmony. Flowing together as one body. Moving together as one body. It speaks of following in continuity without deviation or change. Point number one, unity will always cause a flow of the anointing. Point number two, not only will it cause a flow of the anointing, but as it said, it was like the anointing oil falling down, running down the beard of Aaron and rolling down the edge of his garments. It speaks of a saturation in the anointing. See, why is that important? Listen, if I was to walk out here right now and take a bottle of oil and just be all crazy like and just dump it all over my head and saturate myself in the anointing. Can anybody agree with me this morning and say, everywhere I step, I'm probably going to have a little mess of oil follow me? Oh, somebody's catching this. If I walk around and I bump into Alex and I just brush shoulders with him, but there's oil dripping off all over me, there's a transference. Everywhere I go, the anointing has to follow. When you're saturated in the anointing, when you're saturated in the oil, somebody's catching it this morning. Somebody's catching it this morning. There's going to be a release of the anointing in this place, greater than there ever has been before. And revival's going to break out of this place. And when it does, it's not just going to be me. It's not just going to be Pastor Alex, but every single one of you that not only begins to have a flow of the anointing in your life, but a saturation of the anointing. Everywhere your foot steps, every place your foot treads, there's going to be oil, a remnant of oil every step you go. And there's nothing the devil can do about it. In verse 3, unity will cause the Lord to command blessing. And this is so powerful in and of itself. The Lord to command blessing. I don't see anywhere in the Bible that says that we're supposed to be poverty stricken. I don't see anywhere in the Bible that says God wants us to be poor. Listen, we shouldn't envy the world and their riches. The world needs to look at us and say, goodness gracious, what is going on with the body of Christ? The whole church is prosperous. Every person that steps foot in there and becomes a covenant child of the King gets blessed. You know, we can teach these principles and we can teach about tithing and giving. We can teach about all these things. But the word says the Lord commanded the blessing. Listen, when he commands it, I told you guys this morning, he has all creative power on the tongue. When he commands blessing over you, best you believe. There's nothing the devil can do. There's nothing the world can say. You're going to get blessed whether you like it or not. If he commands the blessing over you and your house, it's finished. It is finished. You're blessed. Listen, I like being blessed. Amen. Living the blessed life is awesome. And I'm not even fully there yet. I still have trials and tribulations, but I know that if God walks over to me and says, I command blessing on him. Amen. And lastly, in verse 3, it says, unity will cause life forevermore. That life speaks of revival. Unity can bring about revival. Can we all stand this morning? In agreement, in unity with one another, in unity with the body of Christ. Can we stand this morning, close our eyes and raise our hands as we pray together in unity as the body of Christ this morning. for revival in this place. Father, I pray right now in the mighty and the precious name of Jesus the Christ, Lord, that you would do something so great in this place, that you would do something so great here at Oceans Unite Christian Center. Father, as we pray, as we pray, as we humble ourselves, as we seek your face, Father, as we turn from our wicked ways, Lord, as we come together in unity and in one accord, Father, I pray this morning with every brother and sister that has been washed by the blood, by every Holy Ghost filled Christian in this place this morning, Lord, I stand in agreement and we cry out, Father, we don't want revival tomorrow, but Lord, we want revival today. Father, we cry out, send a revival, send a revival, send a revival, send a revival to Oceans Unite Christian Center. Send a revival to the people here. Send a revival, Father, that the nations of this world would be shook because of what takes place here. Send a revival, Father, that the nations of this world would model themselves after, Father, because they see you are doing something great. Father, heal the sick. Heal the sick. Deliver the bound. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would prosper the poor. Lord, that you would do signs and wonders so great in this place that the world system around that says there is no natural physical way that could have taken place. Father, we break the power of disbelief in this place this morning. Father, that everything that needs to come to pass will come to pass. In Jesus' mighty and precious name, send a revival, send a revival, send a revival, send a revival, send a revival here and now. Can everybody agree with me and say amen? Yes! Amen.